Hey there, welcome to open class number 36. I hope you're doing really, really well. I'm excited about this episode. We have, I believe it is five questions, different characters. I hope this will bring a lot of value to you and whoever sent the question. Of course, first of all, actually, an announcement here, in terms of how to submit questions, we have made a little change here. So instead of emailing, please head over here. Let's see, where are we? Oh, here. Let's see, am I showing the right thing? No, I don't think I am. Let's see, we'll remove this and we will stop screen save. Oops, sorry about this. We'll share Chrome tab, but which one we wanna share? This one, of course. Okay, here we go. So if you have a question for open class, if you want to submit a question to a class like this one, head over to thesleepcoachschool.com, and see here, have a question for open class, hit that button, and then you can submit a question that either myself or Coach Michael or the both of us together will answer. So with that said, we will jump into our questions. Malena is live with us. Hey, Malena, you're doing really, really well. Thanks for all the support, Malena. Yes, we will jump into questions. We have five, as I mentioned, and nothing is medical advice, just me sharing general thoughts and general advice that I hope will be really helpful. So I'm really sorry about this. I'm having some technical issues here. Let's see, share screen, Chrome tab, questions. Okay, there we go, finally. I got it. Okay. Firstly, actually, this is a question that I missed from Gabrielle from Italy. Very sorry about this. It's a good one. Let's go over this. Hi, Danielle. I'm Gabrielle from Italy. We spoke here a couple of months ago, and I had just finished CBTI. My sleep has continued to improve, and I've been much better. But there are times like now in which the memories of insomnia become more vivid, and the worry of falling back into that tunnel returns. I know that now I have the weapons to fight it. But lately, I feel a little agitated. Insomnia has left me indelible wounds because it was such a terrible experience, and it's difficult to manage these thoughts. Do you think they will go away over time, or do I have to learn some mindfulness and ACT? Do you know any books in Italian for this? Thanks, and have a nice day. Well, thank you, Gabrielle, for submitting this question. And I see we have a live question from, or some comments from Elena. I'll get to that in a second. Let's go over this one from Gabrielle first. I don't know of any such books in Italian that, that I could recommend. But I will say this, that, where you're at, Gabrielle, is a very, 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 very common place to be at, which is you had a lot of trouble sleeping, you had insomnia, you went through CBTI, you're sleeping better, but that thought is still there, kind of, what if it happens again? What if I go back to that place, And you say, like, you have the weapons to fight it. That is very, very important to me. That shows me that you've gotten to a place where you're kind of managing sleep like that right now. You're okay, but you're worried that it will come back. And you think of it like this. You think that you had, like, this struggle, this kind of battle, and CBTI gave you the tools, the weapons to fight insomnia. And now you're managing it, and you have the weapons to kind of fight back if it comes back again, but you really don't want to have it come back again, and you're thinking a lot about it. This, to me, illustrates perfectly the problem with traditional CBTI, which is that with traditional CBTI, the solution for insomnia is thought to be spend less time in bed and kind of force yourself out of bed if you can't sleep, and kind of build that strong sleep drive and, like, overcome the insomnia with that sleep drive, and then you'll sleep well, and then you kind of make yourself associate the bed with sleep again. And here's the thing. When you're going through CBTI, you have faith in the process. You have faith in your counselor, your coach, whoever it is, and that reduces your anxiety. You have faith in the process, so you're less anxious, and then you stay up later. Maybe you're a little bit sleepier, and you start sleeping more, and you got it, like, I got it. I fought insomnia, I dealt it the blow. Now I got it, right? The problem is that you don't understand that the reason you're sleeping better is that you're trying less. It's not that you're trying more, it's that you're trying less. You know, when you had insomnia, you're battling to get sleep, and that battle is why you had trouble sleeping. And when you do CBTI, traditional CBTI, it seems like you're getting kind of new tools, but reality is the reason you're sleeping better is actually that you're trying less. You become more okay with having insomnia, maybe because you think you have these weapons, but the reason you're sleeping better is always that you're trying less. But you have this in your mind now that it may come back and you have to fight it again. And that's where why so many like, let's say good examples for this would be Michelle, who was a guest here on the channel. With CBTI, you can get to a place where you think you're managing sleep, but you always have that underlying anxiety. What if it comes back? So the key thing I think really is to go towards acceptance 100%, you know, for someone like yourself, Gabriela. And what I mean by acceptance? Well, it's accepting that A, you're sleeping better because you're trying less, you know, there's no battle. There's no fight. As long as you think there's a fight or a battle and then you have to use weapons and you have to overcome this, then you're going to have trouble. Either you're going to have more insomnia or you're going to have this kind of low-level simmering anxiety and always kind of like a little bit of trouble sleeping. There is no battle. There are no weapons. There's no conflict. It's all about accepting. So, you know, for someone like yourself, I think it is really good to start thinking like, okay, the reason I'm sleeping better now is actually that I'm accepting that I have no control. It is that I'm okay with being awake at night. I'm not fighting against insomnia. I'm more accepting. And if I have trouble sleeping again, I'm going to deploy more of that. I'm going to be even more accepting. In fact, in this moment, I'm okay if I have another episode of insomnia. As long as I'm willing to experience that, it's not going to bother me. That's the way, okay? So I think that's really, I hope this made sense to you, Gabriela, but I think this is super important for yourself and many other people. So let me know if you have any follow-up questions. And sorry, this answer came a little late. All right. Live question from Elena. I got COVID. I'm out of quarantine now, but I still have symptoms. I was sleeping in due to this virus. Last night, I couldn't sleep. I was kind of in a daze. And I started to feel my mind drift towards insomnia. But after watching the video with Sasha, it was very reassuring to know feelings are just feelings. Thoughts are just thoughts. Absolutely. Don't mean anything. I'm thinking maybe all the different schedules I've been sleeping has affected my cycle, but who cares? It will come together. The mind is very powerful. Also, of course, when COVID started, I started to read all these long-term symptoms of how it can affect your sleep and what it was like, etc. How it can affect your sleep. And I was like, well, I can't control if it does or not. Yeah, 100%. I think this is very, very helpful. I'm happy you're sharing this, Milena. I think this is, you know, so much of that thinking that leads you away from trouble sleeping and towards like, you know, living a happy life, really. I'm sorry you got sick, of course, but I'm glad you're feeling better. And I think all your thoughts are the idea, you know, that is the way, you know, like I can't control this, so I'm not going to fight to control it. I can't control that, so I have to accept it. And when you do that, you know, definitely like, you know, you can't fix like a broken car with acceptance, but anything in the kind of like emotional, like racing thoughts, depression, anxiety, insomnia, all of that in like acceptance is the way. Absolutely. Very, very good. So let's move along here and look at another question. Where are we? Here we are. So this is from Alina, who wrote the following. Acceptance feels like a very important topic. Funny, we just talked about it, right? Absolutely. Which you discuss more and more on your channel lately, but I can't help but feel that I'm missing something when I try to get it. I will try to organize my thoughts about it, and I know you might think a bit differently. Right now, I'm in that thinking that anxiety needs to be faced and worked with, but not really accepted just as it is. Only knowing that you can calm yourself down whenever anxiety strikes is the thing that can help me think, okay, I don't mind having a night with less sleep because I know that if I get worried, I can deal with it and I can get back on track. And that second part is important to me. Without knowing that I can deal with it, it feels like there's nothing I can do with my worry and I just need to accept my fate. To be honest, I think no one wants to accept to have bad nights forever. And I guess it is natural that this situation is hard to truly process. From my experience, when I manage to deal with worry, I know I use the word manage a lot, but I can't find a better one at the moment. And get calm, the sleep comes easier. But when I let the anxiety be or accept it, it was a long night of suffering. And if there's worry, it means that there is some unresolved conflict, maladaptive thought that got control over my mind, and my brain didn't like it when I was letting it be without understanding what it is. So as weird as it sounds, I think that true acceptance can come either from knowing that something is inevitable and something is never going away from your life and it's just the way how things will be, or from knowing that you can deal with your anxiety whenever it strikes and you can wait a bit more till it's gone, but never from thinking I'm okay with feeling worried and I hope it'll get better someday. I feel like the cognitive thought work is still the most important thing there, and true acceptance can follow after as a way to withstand the path to getting better. I don't know if that makes sense. Sorry for lengthy method. If you can find some time, would love to hear your thoughts. Absolutely. I think I understand this very well. And I'm a believer that whenever you find any way to kind of like temporarily reduce anxiety, you may call it buffering, you find a way not to feel this way, I think you're setting yourself up for more of that. I definitely think so. And we can go go into this email in a little bit more detail. What was it? Only knowing that you can calm yourself down whenever anxiety strikes is the thing that can help me think, okay, I don't mind having a night with less sleep because I know that if I get worried, I can deal with it. You know, the way I think of this is somewhere along these lines that, let's use the example of medication here, that if somebody feels really anxious, may think, oh, I'm going to have a panic attack. They take a Xanax, they feel better. There's no question that they feel better at that moment. That's true. Like the anxiety is kind of resolved. Whoa, that feels good. But in the long term, what you have taught yourself is that you have to do something when you feel anxious, and that feeling anxious is not good and you should escape it. So that means the brain goes into looking for anxiety, okay, I have to look out for anxiety. If anxiety happens, I have to get out of it, right? So although something temporarily feels good, having a safety thought or having this like kind of plan, this action, this thing, I think in the long term, there's nothing but acceptance. I do believe that. Now, here's the thing. When I say acceptance, I use it in different ways, but the overarching thing with acceptance is not like accepting that I have insomnia or accepting that I will always have a lot of anxiety. It's rather accepting that there is no way to control it, Accepting that there is no control is what I think is so important, because when you accept that there's no control, then you don't try to control, you don't try to escape it, and you teach the brain that it doesn't have to try to find ways to escape it, and that it is okay to experience it, and then over time you get much less and less suffering, much less trouble. That is what I think. Hope that makes sense there. Okay. We have some questions live here. Onur says, letting go is the hardest part. I find that sometimes hyper arousal is just persistent, while others, at other times, it can be slowed down. Once we get sick of the worry and are over it, our minds give us a break. Yeah, what I recognize in this comment here is how when you almost get kind of tired of it, you're sick of it, you're like, I can't have it anymore, or I don't want to deal with it, you almost get bored with it, like, then you stop resisting it. You stop doing things and it goes away. So it's always, like, acceptance is always the key. And letting go is always the key, for sure. And sometimes hyperarousal is persistent, otherwise it can be slowed down. The way I think of that is that when you are not actually trying to get rid of the hyperarousal, that's when it slows down. And when you don't want to experience it, that's when it gets sticky. So it's not, in my opinion, that sometimes you can control it and sometimes you can't. It's rather that sometimes you actually don't try to control it and then it doesn't stay very long. Other times you try to control it, that's when it gets sticky. Malina says, she tells me you don't understand. My insomnia is due to something so frustrating when I'm trying to help. Who's that? Or somebody, It's always hard to convince someone that has insomnia for a very long time that it's mental. I tell my friends, look at me. Look, I don't have insomnia anymore because of education. She tells me you don't understand. Yeah, you know, totally. And you know what's interesting here is it's hard to convince someone, you know. Actually, you can't. That's like impossible. You can't, you know, other people's thoughts or behaviors are just like insomnia, if you will. Like when you try to change it, they resist. When you like, when you let go, you kind of give them space to change their thoughts themselves. But it's funny. It's like trying to convince somebody it's just like insomnia. The more you try, the more resistant people get, right? So I think it's just like, you know, you've given her information, and when she's ready to hear it, you know, she's ready to hear it, you know. Every time I get a lot of information from the channel, anytime. Thanks so much for this nice comment, Varsha. All right, and owner says, once you let go, the fatigue and sleep drive is glorious. I try to ride the wave, and then when it comes back, I tell myself, I got the sleep drive. You got this. You know, I think sleep drive is very much real. It's the only thing that can make a human being sleep, is that, you know, the body needing sleep drive. But I think personally, actually, that there's, you know, there's often a tendency to hold on to that as something you can control and being like, okay, I'm getting up early. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to get that sleep drive. I'm going to let it make me sleep, which kind of leads you towards effort and trying, you know? So I personally think it's good to know about sleep drive, because then you're like, okay, medications can't make me sleep. Soothing sounds can't make me sleep. Nothing can make me sleep except my own body. But other than that, I think it's better to go towards like, you know, again, working on letting go and acceptance, because if you kind of work on sleep drive, it can get you towards like that trying, you know. But and I guess what I want to say here is that whenever you kind of you sleep well, don't attribute it to sleep drive, because that takes you towards effort. Attribute it to letting go. So you slept well. I'm like, very good. I slept well because I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't trying at all. I was okay with being awake all night, you know. That's, if you do that, if you attribute good sleep to letting go, that will kind of reinforce that I should let go, you know. So I think that's a really good one. Hope that makes sense, owner. All right, very good. Let us go towards our next question, which comes here from Pat. Let's read this. Hi Daniel, love your videos. Thank you Pat. I've been undergoing CBTI with a therapist for about 6-7 weeks, made some progress, but relapsed recently, and I'm very upset about it. I've been diligent about the protocol, except for the stimulus control part. I hate getting out of bed. Is it okay, in your opinion, to remain in bed if I am calm? If I remain in bed, will that slow my progress? My therapist thinks so. I'm curious to learn what you think. Any suggestions or ideas to make this less painful? 100%. I think... as we already talked about, actually, in this episode, there are some serious problems, in my humble opinion, with traditional CBTI. And let's just, if we kind of go over this a little bit line by line here, made some progress, you know, whenever you sleep better, it's because you tried less. Maybe you had faith in your therapist. Maybe you had faith in the program. Maybe you learned something. Maybe it was education. Something made you resist less, you know. Something made you become more okay with being awake at night, you know. That's where you made some progress. It was not because, you know, you forced yourself to stay up late, because guess what, if someone forces themselves to stay up late and like, I gotta get sleep, I'm gonna force myself, I've been up for 38 hours, I'm gonna go to 40 hours, and then 40 hours now I can sleep, they're not gonna sleep. If you don't want to have insomnia, or if you're trying really hard to sleep, it doesn't matter how sleepy you are. You're not going to sleep, or you're not going to sleep well, right? So if you make some progress, always comes from acceptance. Okay, so you made some progress. We know why. It's because you became more acceptance. But I relapsed recently, and that's because you went towards effort again. You were like, okay, I've made some progress, but how can I make more progress? Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. That's why you had some trouble again. And I'm very upset about it. Now, here's the thing. You're upset because you couldn't make something happen. Frustration comes from trying something that doesn't work, right? But here's the thing. it's literally biologically impossible to make yourself sleep. So when you don't sleep, there's no reason to be upset at yourself because you tried to do something that is impossible. So just deploy self-kindness and just tell yourself, I tried to make myself sleep. No human being can do this. So there's no reason for me to be upset at myself. I should go get some ice cream because you deserve that. Okay. I've been diligent about the protocol. That's another thing that is so problematic with CBTI is that it's implied controllability. You know, it's implied that if you do this, then you're going to sleep, which is not true because you can't control sleep. Sleep only comes to you when you're trying to control it. So these protocols, I think, are very unhelpful. And so is stimulus control. Stimulus control is very problematic when done in this kind of traditional CBTI setting. Why is that? Well, it's because, okay, you're told that there's this thing called conditioned arousal, that you have started to associate the bed with anxiety. So now you have to change that. Now you have to start associating the bed with sleeping. And the way you do that is you get out of bed if you haven't slept, and you get back into bed when you feel sleepy. Sounds like, okay, this sounds pretty good, but it's way too simplistic. There's no problem with a bed. The problem is that you don't want to be awake at night. You started seeing wakefulness as an enemy. And that's the problem. You know, if you see a cat yawning during the day, that can trigger anxiety, you know? Or if you see your friend drinking some coffee and you think, oh my God, I can't drink coffee. Why can he eat that? That's unfair. And why do I have insomnia? All kinds of things can trigger stress, anxiety. The bed, the bedroom, the pillows, they're just one of those things. So there's no reason to kind of try to force yourself to associate the bed with sleep. That's just another effort, you know, that just produces more anxiety. So what should you do? Befriend wakefulness, of course. You should become okay with being awake at night because then everything else is resolved. And you can do that in your bed or outside of bed. Doesn't matter. And particularly, you know, what's super important is not to have this time, you know, thing like get out of bed in 20 minutes. No. That makes you watch the clock and makes you more pressured. If you feel good in bed, stay in bed, but do something you enjoy. Take a mental journey, you know, read a book, you know, listen to a podcast, watch some Netflix. Yes, the screens don't matter. Just try not to know the time. I think that's always good. But okay, befriend wakefulness, Pat, and good things will come your way for sure. So I hope this really, really helped. And make sure if you have any follow-up questions, let us know. Go to our new thesleepcoach.com and submit a question. Owner says, yes, absolutely. I'm super happy. Owner, well done. You'll do great. Melina says, sleep drive is very powerful, but acceptance is the best because it allows hyperarousal to slow down. It allows sleep drive to kick in. Yeah, that's the thing. No comment. nothing further. I agree with that. I feel like when people go into CBTI, they go into the very wrong way. You have to set it and forget it. Yeah, no, CBTI can take you towards effort, which is no good. Okay. Very, very cool. We are moving along here. Let's see, John. This is a very short one from John. Basically, John, actually the message from John was like, do I have a progressive fatal insomnia? John says, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., but I fall asleep again. I'm suddenly having brain fog randomly. And sometimes when I speak, I forget what I was talking about. You know, I want to say nothing here is medical advice, but there's absolutely nothing here that makes me think, if I read this from any random person, the last thing on earth I would think about would be a fatal insomnia. This sounds like, you know, maybe a little bit of insomnia and, you know, when we're not sleeping well or when we're thinking a lot about what's happening to us, we can easily forget words or feel kind of brain fog and things of that nature. All right, let's read this message from Kelvin now. Hi, Daniel. Lately, I have tremendous problems sleeping in my new home. I get total insomnia. 0 hours of sleep when sleeping here, and it doesn't seem to improve after a few days. I'm extremely exhausted and depressed during the day. I'm very sleepy at night, but my brain just doesn't fall asleep. I have good sleep hygiene, and I did stimulus control. I always have very bad problems sleeping in different environments like hotels, friends' house, etc. Do you have any suggestion on what I can do to get a decent sleep in my new home? Yes, I do. Well, firstly, thanks for submitting this question. And, you know, when you've had trouble sleeping, you are often a little bit sensitized, you know. For anyone that sleeps in a new environment, they may sleep a little less, you know, because it's kind of new environment, you're a little bit stressed for whatever reason. If you had trouble sleeping, it can easily become amplified, you know. Instead of having like a little trouble sleeping, you have a lot of trouble sleeping in a new environment. Nothing strange about that. Well, guess what? Now you have a new home, a new house, and you're having some trouble sleeping. And then of course you may think, oh my gosh, this is my new house. What if I can't sleep in my new house? What if I have trouble sleeping on and on? What am I going to do about that? I can't move again. I've just moved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I really think the most important thing is to know that there is actually nothing in your house that is keeping you from sleeping. You know, there's nothing with the bed or the bedroom or the mattress or the air or anything like that. It's just how you think about the new house that is causing you to have trouble sleeping. And, you know, sleep hygiene, you say, you know, you have very good sleep hygiene. That makes me really worried when somebody says that. Because to me, when somebody says, I have really good sleep hygiene, that to me makes me think that this person takes their sleep very seriously. They're trying to get it right. They're kind of like manage it, you know, have the temperature this way, which lends itself to poor sleep, because sleep is a passive process. It just comes to you when you're not trying at all, right? So I want to say, abandon that. That could be really, really good. Like try less things. And stimulus control, super problematic. I don't believe in that at all. I think you should just, when you're awake at night, just befriend wakefulness, stay in bed and do something enjoyable, leave the bed and do something enjoyable, you know, go the path of least resistance. Don't check the time, don't know what time it is. And know that sleep will come back. Sleep will come back to you in your new house. And it's, by the way, when it does happen, imagine if you have been trying something like a new tea or something like that and you start sleeping better, then you're just going to think, oh, okay, it was this tea. Now I have to keep drinking this tea, which keeps you in this kind of anxious state. You have to control sleep. But if you don't do anything, if you try less and you start sleeping better, you will see that, oh, I can sleep in my new home. You know, the tea in this scenario doesn't spoil that magical moment. You'll see that sleep comes to you when you're not trying. So those were my most important thoughts, I think, on this topic, Kelvin. Hope that made sense. And with that said, we have completed the recorded questions. Let's see, we have some live things here. Owner says, Daniel, do you feel the root cause of so much insomnia is a stubborn mind plus anxieties? I find that just getting the thought of sleep unstuck, whether good or bad, is tough once sensitized to it. Getting it off the radar seems key in the end. Do you see success with that in the end? Yeah, 100%. I think, to be honest with the owner, like everyone that I've either worked with or people that have like kept asking questions on this channel, were like open mind, like willing to learn, always do good. You know, if you're not, you know, I think it's absolutely everyone who's kind of open minded, willing to learn, etc., will do well. And now the thing is, if you use the radar here as an analogy, you know, the paradox with insomnia is always that when you want to get sleep off the radar, kind of the harder you want to push it out of the radar, the stickier it becomes. The more you go towards, it's on my radar now, and it's okay that it's on my radar. I'm not going to resist that. I'm not going to try to do anything to get it off my radar. Then it kind of gently, with time, moves off of the radar. And same thing with those thoughts, like, is insomnia caused by a stubborn mind plus anxieties? Yes, I would say so. Meaning a stubborn mind, meaning somebody who is kind of a type A personality, has a little bit kind of controlling tendencies, a health person, somebody who's really into health, you know, somebody who's kind of overthinking, maybe overanalyzing, like something like that. That type of person, a type A person, if you will, tends to get anxiety. So that's kind of a stubborn mind. That thing, like anyone who has a tendency to kind of be able to focus on something, which generally speaking is a great thing. But, you know, yes, that stubborn mind often causes trouble sleeping, and anxiety is almost always there. True. I find that just getting thoughts of sleep unstuck is tough. Yeah, it's tough because you're trying to get them unstuck, you know. It's kind of like racing thoughts, like, you know, I, it's, you know, what do I think? I was thinking about this today when somebody says, like, I you know, this one, I can't control my thoughts is exactly, I just can't control my thoughts. There are two things just by hearing that, I can't control my thoughts, two very, very, there are two big insights into why this person, quote unquote, can't control their thoughts. First is the I can't control my thoughts. That implies that this person thinks that they can't control their thoughts, but that other people can, which is not true. No, nobody can do that. No human being can control their thoughts. But thinking that you can't control their thoughts, but other people can, that in itself is very problematic because you think there's something wrong with you. Okay, so that's the I. And then we have control their thoughts, you know, which tells you, if someone says, I can't control my thoughts, that tells you that this person has tried to control their thoughts, and that is why they're having so many thoughts. You know, when you don't try to control your thoughts, your brain, or put it this way, thoughts are, you know, your brain's trying to tell you something, right? Good or bad, as you said. When you don't want to listen, the brain goes like, why aren't you listening? I got to produce more thoughts. I got to give you this thought more and more and more and more. So when you try to control thoughts, the brain goes, more thoughts, right? But when you stop trying to control thoughts, the brain is like, oh, you're listening. You're actually listening to me. All right, then, you know, I don't have to feed you all these thoughts. So super important there, I think. Let's see. Chrissy says, sleep hygiene is more stressful. 100%. By the way, I talked to Sasha Stevens the other day. Amazing episode. I think everybody should watch that one. But, you know, the way she used sleep hygiene is like, she says, you should try to like get up about the same time, you know, go to bed. She said, go to bed about the same time, which I don't think is super important, but get out of bed about the same time. Don't sleep during the day. That's good. But sleep hygiene, as in like the temperature, the light, the this, the that, the no. That's just super stressful. The root of suffering is attachment. It's so simple, so true. It's so true. No, and that's why, you know, I call my philosophy, my thinking, NATO, non-attachment to the outcome. It's that it's always there. And somebody on this channel posted this kind of equation that said, suffering equals pain times resistance. I think that is so true. So in this equation, like pain is, for example, a sleepless night, right? And then you multiply that by how much you resist it. Yeah, I don't want to have that. Then you get suffering. When resistance is zero, suffering is zero, even if you have pain. Another version of this, really. We got Said from Malaysia. Said, welcome. Thank you. And Anur says, patience. And Anur, I feel like I'm almost like, you know, you say so many nice things here, Anur, and I'm finding like I want to like tweak everything you say here. I'm sorry if it comes across like that, but I've had this. I used to have like a sign here that says patience, you know. But I've realized that there's a problem with patience, and it's this one. Patience implies that you're kind of waiting for something that's going to happen to you. You know, if I just, you know, I got to wait until this happens. And I think it is better to actually go again towards acceptance. Like if you're patient, that means you're not happy with the now, but you're waiting for something that's going to be better. And I think it is better to be like happy with the now, and then that thing will come to you. So just a little, maybe semantics there. But Honor and everyone else, hope you found a lot of value here. I look forward to having you back real soon. Until then, what are we going to talk about here? A couple of things. If you want to submit a question, go to thesleepcoachschool.com. Actually, I think I have it here. Here, yeah. You go to thesleepcoachschool.com, and you'll find a form where you can submit questions. And we also, of course, have, for anyone that wants a little bit more support, guidance, accountability on your path towards becoming immune to insomnia, check out our program, Self-Coaching Master Program. It's perfect if you are a video person, if you like learning by video. And if you, on the other hand, are a person who like reading, well, then check out Bedtime instead. There is an app where all this teaching here is packaged nicely, and you have a great sleep coach, myself, of course. And with that said, we will see last comment here. Owner makes great sense. Love it. Okay, everyone, take care now, and see you back soon. Bye-bye.